الحمد لله، الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما أرسلناك إلا رحمة للعالمين. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: أنا رحمة مهداد، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم: رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي: يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. Respected علماء، Young friends, brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It is a great blessing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us all that He has granted us the opportunity to participate in this auspicious, blessed Rahmatul Lil Alameen Sallallahu Alaihi Wa Alihi Wasallam conference organized by the Islamic Awareness Foundation of Northampton. To be able to sit in a gathering wherein the life of the most beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, is being discussed is a very great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Naam unka jahan bhi liya jayega. There is a couplet in the Urdu language. Naam unka jahan bhi liya jayega, zikr unka jahan bhi kiya jayega, نور ہی نور سینوں میں بھر جائے گا، ساری محفل میں جلوے ٹپک جائیں گے. Wherever his name is mentioned, the name of the beloved messenger of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherever he is mentioned, wherever his sublime seerah. His great life is discussed. Then those people who are granted the tawfiq and the opportunity to participate in such a gathering, their hearts are enlightened, and the whole gathering is enshrouded by the mercy that descends from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rahmatul lil alameen is the topic of discussion. The mercy for all the worlds. The mercy for the whole universe. The mercy for all the creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We have not sent you but as a mercy for all the worlds. We have not sent you but as a mercy for the whole universe. We have not sent you but as a mercy for all the creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one who was sent is Rahmatul Lil Alameen. Mercy for all the creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the one who sent him is Rahman and Rahim. The most merciful, the most compassionate. The sender is Rahman and Rahim, the most merciful, the most compassionate. And the one who is being sent is Rahmatul Lil Alameen, the mercy for all the creatures. And the message that he has brought is a message full of mercy. Part of his message is, he says, مَنْ لَا يَرْحَمْ لَا يُرْحَمْ. One who does not show mercy will not be shown mercy. One who is not merciful to the creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not show him mercy. مَنْ لَا يَرْحَمْ. One who is not merciful to the people around him, be they Muslims, non-Muslims, be they male, female, be they young, old, be they humans, animals. مَنْ لَا يَرْحَمْ. One who does not show mercy to the creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَا يُرْحَمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not treat him with mercy in the hereafter. Allah will not show him mercy. If this was the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam to his followers, if he exhorted his followers to become merciful, if he expected his followers to show mercy to the creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala around them, then imagine how much merciful the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself was. مَنْ لَا يَرْحَمْ لَا يُرْحَمْ. One who does not show mercy will not be shown mercy. He says, اِرْحَمُوا مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ يَرْحَمْكُمْ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ. الرحمون يرحمهم الرحمن تبارك وتعالى. الرحمن تعالى the one who is full of mercy, the one who is compassionate. He will only show complete mercy to those of his servants who are merciful to others. الرحمن يرحمهم الرحمن تبارك وتعالى. الرحمون يرحمهم الرحمن تبارك وتعالى. الرحمن تبارك وتعالى will show complete mercy only to those people who are merciful to others. Therefore, irhamu man fil ard, be merciful to those people who live on this universe, on this earth. Be merciful to all those creatures who are on this earth. Yarhamkum man fis sama, the one who is in the heavens, the Creator will show mercy to you. So Rahman and Rahim, the most merciful, the one who is most compassionate, is the one who sent Rahmatul Lil Alameen. The one who was mercy for all the worlds, for all the creatures. And he came with the message of mercy. And not only did he propagate this message verbally, but we find practical incidents throughout his life which exhort each and every person who studies his life to become merciful. My colleague Maulana Ayaz Hafizahullah Ta'ala quoted many ahadith and many incidents from the life of this great personality sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which very clearly shows how merciful he was. He says, "Qurratu aini fi salah," the coolness of my eyes lies in salah. Sahaba ikram rizwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in say, إِذَا حَزَبَهُ أَمْرٌ بَادَرَ إِلَى الصَّلَةِ. If there was something that created anxiety to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, if there was some matter of concern, if there was something to worry about, what would he do? He would immediately stand in salah. Because through salat, he would forget the problem. Nowadays, to forget the problem, people consume alcohol. To forget the problem, people consume drugs. To forget the problem, people engage in unlawful relationships. To forget the problem, people go to clubs. To forget the problem, people go to cinemas. To forget the problem, people spend hours watching films on TV video. These are all disobediences to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a person can only remove problem from his life with the help and assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By watching film, by going to the club, through adultery, fornication, with drug, with alcohol, one is disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when one disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he cannot expect the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to descend. He cannot expect the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to descend. He cannot expect the assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be with him. Because the Quran makes it very clear. بَلَا إِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا وَيَأْتُوكُم مِّن فَوْرِهِمْ هَذَا يمددكم ربكم بخمسة آلاف من الملائكة مسومين. If you are going through a period of grief, period of anxiety, you feel depressed, you have a problem that you want to resolve, you will only be able to resolve your problem, you will only be able to come out from this problem, from this anxiety, from this grief, by adopting taqwa, by abstaining from disobediences to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by following the straight path, by coming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by exerting effort towards making the Creator happy, by following in the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, one who adopts taqwa, one who fears the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one who fears the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he purifies his life, his external life and his inner condition from the disobediences to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create an exit for him to come out from that problem. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. The method of taking yourself out from a particular problem is to become a muttaqi, become God-fearing. Become a person who abstains from disobediences to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah promises in the Quran, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ as a result of taqwa, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open an exit. Exit. Makhraja, exit through which a person will be able to leave all his problems behind. And Allah further says, وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him sustenance through those means which he has never even thought of. And here, rizq does not refer to food only. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fulfill any need of his. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will sustain him in any problem that he is facing through those channels, those ways, those means which he has never even thought of. He cannot see any ray of hope. He feels that he is doomed. But despite every darkness, he turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with this belief that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ala kulli shay'in qadeer. It is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the whole universe who can make the impossible possible. So he does not give up. He sees this ray of hope. There is darkness all over, but he sees this ray of hope that no, my Creator is there. And if my Creator decides to help me, there is nothing in this universe that can prevent his help taking me out from this problem. So he turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first thing he does is he makes istighfar, he makes tawbah. This is also the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his life. Seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is what he did. Seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is what he said. Seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is every hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every action, every word. Seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is also the conduct and the behavior of his companions, the Sahaba ikram Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in. And every verse of the Quran is also the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is all life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The ahadith, life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The books on seerah, life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the very first group of the mu'mineen, of the believers who had benefited from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who had directly learned how to live in this world as humans, are the Sahaba-e-Kiram Rizwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in. So whatever you see in the Sahaba-e-Kiram Rizwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in is a direct result of what they had learned from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is for this reason Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ashabi kal nujum. My Sahaba are like the stars. My Sahaba are like guiding stars. They are guiding stars. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. One who imitates the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will reach the destination. Similarly, those people who have sat in my company, who have learned from me, they have also become so professional in this field of guidance that أَصْحَابِ كَالنُّجُومِ, they are also like the stars. فَبِأَيِّهِمْ يَقْتَدَيْتُمْ اِهْتَدَيْتُمْ. Whomsoever you will follow from my companions, you will reach the destination. You will reach the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will reach the Jannatul Firdaus. You will become successful in your mission. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's seerah, his teachings, what does it teach us? That when you make a mistake, you must repent immediately. If you do not repent, then slowly, due to the continuity of disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your heart becomes void of the nur of iman. Your heart becomes void of the nur of the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your heart becomes void of the nur of the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your heart becomes void of the yaqeen that was taught by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And when the heart becomes dark, when it is engulfed with the darkness of the sins, and it does not have any more light and nur in the heart, then a person experiences grief. A person experiences anxiety. A person experiences a state of depression. And the only way to come out of this is to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and repent. Repent. Man lazim al istighfar. One who holds fast to asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness. One who holds fast to istighfar. Man lazim al istighfar. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Oh Allah, forgive my sins. Astaghfirullah Rabbi min kulli dhanbi wa atubu ilayhi. Oh Allah, I seek your forgiveness from every sin that I have committed, from every mistake that I have made. Astaghfirullah alladhi la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum wa atubu ilayhi. I ask forgiveness from that Allah, besides whom there is no deity, who is high, who is qayyum, who is high, who is alive, who has always been alive, who will always remain alive. Al-qayyum, and who is controlling the whole universe. The whole universe is dependent upon him, and he is independent. Wa atubu ilayh, and I repent to him, I turn to him. I was going in this direction towards shaitan and moving away and away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now I repent. Repent means I turn. I make a U-turn and go towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Man lazim al-istighfar. One who holds fast to istighfar. He continually asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. This is also the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Despite being ma'soom, it is the aqidah of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah that every Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam is ma'soom. Every Nabi is immune from sins. A Nabi cannot commit a sin because he is protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
He is immune from sin. كَذَلِكَ لِنَصْرِفَ عَنْهُ السُّوءَ وَالْفَحْشَاءَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says regarding Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam that it is we who take away evil from the Nabi. A non-Nabi has to exert effort to stay away from sin. As far as a Nabi is concerned, Allah diverts the sin and evil from the Nabi. Allah protects him. Because if a Nabi was to commit sins, if a Nabi was to continually disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he would not be an example for the Ummah. He would not be able to say that you should do this and you should do this, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do this. He would not be able to say that follow in my footsteps, do what I am doing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي. Follow in my footsteps. O my messenger, tell them that follow in my footsteps, do what I do. صَلُّوا كَمَا رَأَيْتُمُونِي أُسَلِّي. Perform namaz, perform salat as you see me perform salat. Copy me. خُذُوا أَنِّي مَنَاسِكَكُمْ. During the Hajj period, he says to the Sahaba Ikram, Rizwanullahi ta'ala Ali Majma'in, learn the method of performing Hajj from me. Learn the masail of Hajj from me. Learn from me. إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ مُعَلِّمًا. إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ مُعَلِّمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent me only as a teacher. My prime objective is ta'aleem. رَبَّنَا وَبْعَثْ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ يَتْلُوْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sets out the program of the Nabi. يَتْلُوْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ. He will recite the verses of the Quran to his ummah. And وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. He will teach them the Quran. Not only recite, he will explain to them the Quran through the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hikmah, his ahadith. وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ. And he will also purify their hearts. He will show them the method and the way to purify their external morals, manners and characteristics. And he will also purify the inner self, the soul. إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ مُعَلِّمًا. I have been sent as a teacher. بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent me so that I can teach you the complete good morals and good characters. And he spent all his time in this. All the time sitting with the Sahaba-i Kiram Rizwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in, exerting every effort to teach them everything that was being revealed to him. Because it was his responsibility. Ya, you are Rasul. Balligh ma unzila ilayka min rabbik. O Rasul, convey to them what your Rabb has revealed to you. Each and every word convey to them. And not only convey to them, give them the commentary of each and every word. Explain to them. It is for this reason the Ummah is unanimous that the first commentary of the Quran is the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. That is the first commentary. And then comes the commentary of the Sahaba-i Kiram Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in. The life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his ahadith, they are the first commentary of the Quran. So he did not only recite the verses of the Quran, but he also explained the Quran verbally and practically. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam says, the Sahaba-i Kiram Rizwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in narrate that he says, Inni la astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayhi fil yawmi mi'ata marra. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his forgiveness and I repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 100 times during a day. In 24 hours I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness and I repent to him 100 times. And in certain ahadith we find that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِنِّي لَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْهِ فِي الْيَوْمِ سَبْعِينَ مَرَّةً. In 24 hours, I turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I repent, I ask for forgiveness 70 times. Now there is an apparent contradiction in the hadith. In one hadith he says 70 times, in another hadith he says 100 times. One explanation that the commentators of hadith have given is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is not referring to a particular number, 70 or 100. The reference that he is making is that I repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and I ask for his forgiveness frequently. It's like saying, I've said this to you a dozen times. He hasn't counted. A dozen times means I've said this to you many times. Did I not say this to you 100 times? So he does not really mean 100 or dozen. What he is trying to say is that I've said this many times. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he said that I repent and ask Allah's forgiveness 70 times, once he said 100 times, what he really means is that I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness and I turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for repentance many, many times in 24 hours. Why? Why was this? He was immune from sins. Why did he turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with istighfar, with tawbah? The answer that the muhaddithin have given is that he used to do many things to teach the ummah, to become an example for the ummah. But if I am doing this, then you should also do it. And if I, despite being masoom and immune from sins, am turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala many, many times in 24 hours, then you should turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than I do. Now, if a person is sinful and he turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and repents and asks for forgiveness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive his sins. And if a person is not sinful and then he turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he asks for forgiveness and he repents, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him reward, because this will be regarded as a devotion, as an ibadat. So we also need to learn from the sirat of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness. Man lazim al istighfar, one who holds fast to istighfar. If he makes a mistake, he immediately asks for forgiveness, he repents. If he cannot remember any mistake, then he thinks to himself that I am, after all, an insignificant human, an insignificant individual of the ummah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I must have made some mistakes today. I must have made some mistakes yesterday. So let me turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask for forgiveness. One who holds fast to istighfar, again the same thing. Ja'alallahu min kulli dhikim makhraja. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create an exit door for him to come out from the problem that he is in. So when a person disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he lands himself in problems. To come out of that problem, he needs to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. And to remain out of problem, he needs to continue with taqwa, he needs to continue to struggle towards keeping his life purified from disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I was saying that a person is not able to solve any of his problems by disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Due to intoxication, either through a film or through drugs or through alcohol or through the company of some unlawful relationship, through spending time in the club, listening to music, all this disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will not be able to remove the problem. You will forget the problem for a while. And after the intoxication is over, that problem will be there in front of you. You cannot solve the problem. The only way to solve the problem is by turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by repenting, by asking for his forgiveness, and by adopting taqwa and purifying life, purifying lives from the disobediences to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, whenever he faced any anxiety or any disturbing incident or any disturbing news, then he knew that the only prime solution that we have is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After his protection, nothing can cause harm. So إِذَا حَزَبَهُ أَمْرٌ بَادَرَ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ. If he faced any problem, he would immediately stand in salah. And in salah, قُرَّةُ عَيْنِ فِي الصَّلَاةِ. He used to find immediate comfort. Immediate comfort. And salat is also dua. Salat is also dua. The literal meaning of salat is dua. And salat is called salat because when a person engages himself in salat, he is on many occasions asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for so many things. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Malik Yawm Al-Din, Iyaka Na'budu wa Iyaka Nasta'een. Iyaka Na'bud, only you do we worship, wa Iyaka Nasta'een, and only you, only from you do we seek help. He's praying. Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. Oh Allah, show us the straight path. So salat is dua. And regarding dua, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ad-du'a wa yanfa'u mimma nazala wa mimma lam yanzil. Dua stops a problem that has not yet arrived, and dua removes the problem that has already arrived. So there are two benefits of dua. One is if you are already in a problem, then the dua removes that problem. And if you are not in a problem and the problem is going to come, dua prevents that problem. It stops that problem. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when faced with any anxiety, with any disturbing news, would immediately be in his salah. Now, imagine his condition in salah. Imagine his condition in salah. Connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and when in salah he used to spend the whole night in qiyam. Allahu Akbar. Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha says, kana yaqumu min al-layl hatta tatafattara qadamah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to stand in qiyam during the night for so long that his legs and feet used to swell. His feet and legs used to swell. So imagine how much comfort he used to find in salah. But despite so much comfort in salah, despite salah being the coolness of his eyes, despite salah being a means of his very close connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, despite observing Jannah whilst in salah, despite observing Jahannam whilst in salah, despite all veils between him and the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opening whilst he is in salah, despite all these things, there was so much mercy in his heart that he says that when I hear a child crying, then it worries me that due to the crying of the child, the mother who is in salah and who is unable to attend to the child must be suffering anxiety. So despite my desire to lengthen my salah, due to this merciful nature, I think about the anxiety of the mother and I shorten my salah. And because of this merciful nature of his, he has commanded all the imams to come until the day of Qiyamah. If you wish to perform long salat, then perform individually. Not only did he show mercy to the people around him in his time, but he commanded all the imams, إِذَا أَمَّا أَحَدُكُمْ فَلْيُخَفِّفْ. You must follow my behavior. إِذَا أَمَّا أَحَدُكُمْ فَلْيُخَفِّفْ فَإِنَّ فِيكُمُ السَّقِيمُ وَالْضَعِيفُ وَالْكَبِيرُ. Remember that when you are leading the salat, there could be somebody behind you who is sick. There could be somebody who is weak. There could be somebody who is in a hurry, who needs to go somewhere. And he had come with this in mind that normally our respected imam takes 10 minutes, so I will go and within 10 minutes I will be back home. in 15 minutes I will be back home. And that particular day, because of the desire that the Imam was experiencing, he lengthens the Salat. This will cause anxiety to the person who has come for Salat. Think for a while, my brothers. He himself used to worry about the people behind him, but he left a command for all the Imams. إِذَا أَمَّا أَحَدُكُمْ, if one of you leads the people in Salah, فَلْيُخَفِّفْ, then make sure that his Salat is short. His Salat is short according to my Sunnah, short, the way I have performed Salat. Because it is possible that if he follows his desire whilst he is in Salah and he lengthens the Salah, then maybe he is thinking that I am doing something very good, but he will become a means of convenience to so many people behind him. So much mercy, my friends, so much mercy. So much mercy. And because he was sent as a mercy for the whole universe, for all the creatures, and whenever there is mercy in the heart, then you will see kindness, you will see generosity, you will see feeling for others, you will see that person well-wishing for others, you will see that person giving preference to others over himself, giving preference to the comfort of others over his own comfort, giving preference to the needs of others over his own needs. So kind, so kind. At the time of his advent, my brothers, the books of history and the books of Sirah tells us that there were certain tribes in Makkah Mukarrama and around Makkah Mukarrama that could not tolerate the birth of a female. وَإِذَا بُشِّرَ أَحَدُهُمْ بِالْأُنْثَى ظَلَّ وَجْهُهُ مُسْوَدًّا وَهُوَ كَظِيمٌ يَتَوَارَى مِنَ الْقَوْمِ مِنْ سُوءِ مَا بُشِّرَ بِهِ أَيُمْسِكُهُ عَلَى هُونٍ أَمْ يَدُسُّهُ فِي التُّرَابِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that whenever a person was given the glad tidings of a girl, that a girl has been born, a child has been born, and it is a girl, it is a female, ظَلَّ وَجْهُهُ مُسْوَدًّا وَهُوَ كَذِيمٌ, then this person becomes full of grief. And that grief is so much that it is visible on his face. His face becomes dark, gloomy. And he used to feel disgraced that a girl has been born in my house. This was the status of woman when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam arrived in this world. يَتَوَارَى مِنَ الْقَوْمِ مِنْ سُوءِ مَا بُشِّرَ بِهِ. It was so disgraceful for the father that as soon as he was given the glad tidings of a girl being born in his home, he would hide himself from people. How can I face people? A girl has been born. He would become unhappy with the wife. Why did you give birth to this girl? Why not boy? Why girl? Imagine the situation of these wives, and imagine the situation of the female gender in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He would curse his wife. Why did you give birth to this child? This girl, you have disgraced me. Something which is beyond her control. As soon as a lady used to become pregnant, she would find so much stress for two reasons. Number one, if a girl is born, number one, I will be lamented, I will be scolded, I will be cursed, I will be seen as a despised individual in the family, especially by my husband. My husband will not live with me with love, he will not treat me with kindness. He will see me as a very useless wife for bringing about something that was beyond her control. And the second worry of the mother, if a girl is born, then my husband with his friends will bury her alive. heartedness. وَإِذَا بُشِّرَ أَحَدُهُمْ بِالْأُنْثَى ظَلَّ وَجْهُهُ مُسْوَدًّا وَهُوَ كَظِيمٌ يَتَوَارَى مِنَ الْقَوْمِ مِنْ سُوءِ مَا بُشِّرَ بِهِ. He would hide from people. How can I face people and tell them that a girl has been born in my house? And to erase this disgrace and to clean himself from this disgrace, he would continually think in his heart and mind. Only one thought passes his mind. أَيُمْسِكُهُ عَلَىٰ هُنْ أَمْ يَدُسُّهُ فِي التُّرَابِ. I have only one of two choices. Either I let my girl grow up with disgrace, at the cost of my disgrace, at the cost of my honor, let her grow up and I remain disgraceful, or the best thing to do is to just bury her. Bury her. Bury her. A Sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam and he said, "Oh Messenger of Allah, I have committed a crime. I have committed a crime and my heart is very heavy. I just can't forget what I have done." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to him that when a person repents, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives all his sins. Allah forgives shirk, Allah forgives kufr, Allah forgives all sins. He says, "Oh Messenger of Allah, this sin that I have committed, you would not be able to believe that I have committed this crime." And then he narrated the whole incident to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. "Oh Messenger of Allah, girl was born in my home. My wife was overprotective. She knew what I was going to do. So she would not let my daughter go out with me anywhere. Overprotective. Until my girl reached the age of 3, 4, 5 years old. And my daughter seeing my wife, seeing my affection for my daughter, and seeing that the girl has grown up to be 3, 4, 5 years old now, I don't think so my husband will murder his own daughter. Because it's more easier to bear the pain of the death of a child when it dies instantly after birth. But when that child has spent a few months with you, a few years with you, playing in your lap, you playing with that child, it is very difficult to bear the pain. So it would have been easy for my husband to bury this young daughter when it was born. It will be very difficult now after 4, 5 years. And I am seeing that there is a lot of love between the two of them. So one day the husband said, "Can I take her out?" And I said, "Yes, you can take her out." So he took her out once, twice, three times. Now the husband was convinced that the wife has trust in me. And the wife also had trust in him. She also had confidence in him. The Sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that, "Oh Messenger of Allah, I was in kufr. I was in my period of ignorance. And all these egos, self-made egos, that if you have a female in your house, then you are disgraced. And if you have a male, you are honorable. Oh Messenger of Allah, I took my daughter with me into the jungle and I started digging her grave. And she was so much attached to me that she was helping me to dig her own grave." Allahu Akbar. She was helping me to dig her own grave. "And then came the moment when I threw her inside. I threw her inside and I started throwing the soil in the grave to bury her. And when I was throwing the soil inside, that poor little girl did not realize what was happening. The poor girl was throwing back the soil at me, thinking that my father is playing with me. Look at the hard-heartedness, my friends." And the same companion who was hard-hearted a few years ago, after accepting Islam, after embracing the teachings of the merciful Nabi, became so merciful that despite Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, Inna al-Islam yahdimu ma kana qabla. Islam erases all the sins that a person has committed before he accepts Islam. Despite that, he cannot find comfort in his heart because of this quality of mercy. Now, oh Allah, oh Messenger of Allah, I cannot believe I have committed this crime and it is very heavy on my heart. When finally the girl realized that my father is not playing with me, she started shouting, she started crying, she started beseeching, oh my father, what are you doing with me? Oh my father, save me, take me up. And he said, finally I buried her. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stopped him, and when the sahabi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu looked up towards the face of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this merciful creature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his tears were rolling on his cheeks and his beard had become wet because of the feeling that he had for this daughter. This was the condition before the advent of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What does this merciful Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do? He made an announcement. He said, Man aala jariyatayn hatta tabluga jaa yawm al qiyamati ana wa huwa ka hatayn. One who looks after two daughters until they become young. He teaches them, he educates them, he gets them married. Then for looking after two daughters, Allah will reward him so much that on the day of Qiyamah, I and he will be like these two fingers together. He will be with me in Jannah like this. This merciful Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is restoring the rights of women. No rights whatsoever. No rights in inheritance. Merciful Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam restores the rights of inheritance. Before his advent, rights of husbands only. If you look at the rights of women, no rights. After his advent, he says equal rights. Men has rights over ladies, ladies have rights over men. So much merciful, until she gets married, the father is responsible. Until she gets married, the father is responsible for her upkeep. As far as a male is concerned, as soon as he reaches the age of puberty, then he is responsible for himself. But as far as a female gender is concerned, until she gets married, the father is responsible. In the event of the father dying, the older brother is responsible. In the event of the older brother dying, her second brother is responsible. Similarly, it just goes on and on. If there are no relatives, then Baitul Mal is responsible. The state is responsible. And after she gets married, the husband is totally responsible for her upkeep. And if she is divorced, then again the father is responsible. If she becomes a widow, the son is responsible. The merciful Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam restored the rights of ladies, rights of women. As far as the orphans were concerned, my friends, orphans, they had no rights, no rights whatsoever. If a girl was to become an orphan, the trend before the advent of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was that if she was beautiful, then the relative who was responsible for her would get married to her whether she liked it or not. So by marrying her, he is benefiting twofold. Number one, he has a beautiful wife. And number two, all her wealth will come into his home because he has become the wife. And if she was not very pretty, then he would not create any opportunity whatsoever for her to get married, so that the wealth will remain in his care and he would benefit from the wealth. Orphans have no rights, my brothers. Again, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes to their assistance. Because merciful, the merciful nature. He said, Ana wa kafirul yateema kahatayna fil jannah. I and the one who looks after a yateem, an orphan, will be like this in Jannah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when a person strokes the head of an orphan with love, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him rewards equivalent to the number of hair that his hand has touched. How long does it take to stroke an orphan with love? Allahu Akbar. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's merciful nature paid attention to all these deprived sectors. The women were deprived sectors. The orphans were deprived sector. The laborer was a deprived sector. Laborer. Hazrat Jafar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in the court of Negus, Najashi, when he lectured, he said, we were a people before the advent of our messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We were a people who had this bad habit, this evil habit, this bad trait. So one of the things he mentioned was that our habit was that the powerful amongst us used to eat away the weak amongst us. The weak, the one who has no influence, had no right. So laborer had no right. Whenever the influential people desired to pay the laborer, they would pay. If they did not desire, they would not pay. A Sahabi, رضي الله تعالى عنه, was a blacksmith. And he was asked by As ibn Wail to make something for him. So he made something for him. And he continued to demand his wage, whatever was owed to him, and he would just not give it to him. After the advent of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whilst in Makkah Mukarrama, when the Muslims were still overpowered and weak, this blacksmith accepted Islam. And after accepting Islam, he went to As ibn Wail again to demand his due. He said, you owe me so much money, I did this work for you. So he said, I will only give you your due if you reject Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They would look for any excuse not to pay. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam restored their eyes. What did he say? He said, "Atul ajira ajrahu qabla an yajiffa 'araquhu." Allahu Akbar. Atul ajira ajrahu. Give the laborer his due. Qabla an yajiffa 'araquhu, before his sweat dries up. Merciful nature of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Makkah Mukarrama is being liberated. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is about to enter Makkah Mukarrama. The night preceding the liberation of Makkah Mukarrama, Abu Sufyan radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, who was after Abu Jahl, the leader of the Quraysh of Makkah, the Quraysh of the leader of the infidels, is brought by Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and he finally accepts Islam. Comes morning after the Fajr Salah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, "Ihbis Aba Sufyan inda mururil khayl." Our horsemen are very soon to depart and enter Makkah Mukarrama. Take Abu Sufyan with you, he says to his uncle Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, take Abu Sufyan with you on that small hill and make him stand there, because I want him to see the Muslim force, the Muslim army. Make him stand on the hill there. So Abu Sufyan radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, now a Muslim, until yesterday the stalwart of the non-Muslims, now accepted Islam, is standing with Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, and the Muslim army is heading towards Makkah Mukarramah. So he asks Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, which tribe is this? Who is leading this tribe? Who is that person? Who is this person? He is inquiring because he is not aware of the Muslims. Comes Sa'd ibn Ubadah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Sa'd ibn Ubadah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was the leader of the tribe of Khazraj in Medina Munawwara. A very influential personality. And due to the extreme love that he had for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we all can imagine the persecution that the Muslims had to undergo for the past so many years, 13 years of Makkah Mukarrama and 8 years of Medina Munawwara. A total of 21 lives, 21 years. The persecution. And it is not difficult to imagine, people could visualize in their minds the sufferings of Bilal, the sufferings of Sumayya, the sufferings of Khabbab, the sufferings of Suhaib, the martyrdom of Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu. All these things were in their minds. So out of emotion and extreme love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Sa'd ibn Ubadah radiallahu ta'ala anhu with his battalion came to that hill, and when he saw Abu Sufyan, and he already knew that Abu Sufyan has accepted Islam, he looked towards Abu Sufyan and he said, Al-yawm yawmul malhamah, Al-yawm tustahallul ka'bah. He said, today is the day of a great battle. Today is the day of a great battle. Al-yawm tustahallul ka'bah. Today, haram will be made halal. It is impermissible to kill somebody within the precinct of the haram. But he said, today it will be made halal. We will take revenge today. Al-yawm yudhillullahu Quraishan. Today Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will disgrace Quraysh. Now if this was the condition of Sa'd ibn Ubadah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, who did not see the 13 years of sufferings of Sumayya and of Bilal and of Yasir and of Ammar, one can imagine how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's emotion must have been on that particular day when he is entering as a liberator. But no, my friends, the mercy was so much in his heart that nothing could overpower the mercy. Nothing. Mercy was so much. I'm sure that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was entering Makkah Mukarrama as the liberator, he remembered that night. He must have remembered that night when he had to flee from Makkah Mukarrama. And when he reached the border of Makkah Mukarrama, only him and Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, he turns back in the darkness of the night, my friends, and he looks at Makkah Mukarrama and he says, Ya Makkah, O Makkah, innaki la habbul ardh ilayya. O Makkah, you are the most beloved portion of this earth to me. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says, I was observing the face of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he was making this statement. Tears were rolling down upon his cheeks. He says, O Makkah, you are the most beloved place to me on the surface of this earth. Lawla anna qawmi akharajuni ma kharajtu minki. If I was not forced to leave you by my people, I would never have left. I'm sure he must have remembered that scene. When he comes to that place where Abu Sufyan radiyallahu ta'ala anhu is standing with Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Abu Sufyan radiyallahu ta'ala anhu very quickly rushes towards the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And my friends, this is also something to note. So humble, that we find in the books of Seerah that the last battalion to go towards Makkah Mukarramah was the battalion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He dispatched everybody before. And the smallest battalion and the most humble battalion was the battalion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Very less in number. Abu Sufyan comes rushing towards the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he says, Ya Muhammad, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَأَمَرْتَ بِقَتْلِ قَوْمِكْ? Have you ordered your men to execute your own people? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, no, that is not my order. Why? What happened? He said, Sa'd ibn Ubadah just passed by me and he said, Al-yawma yawmul malhamah. Al-yawma tustahallul qaba. Al-yawma yuzillullahu Quraysha. Look at the merciful nature of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He called Sa'd. He sent somebody and said, call Sa'd. And he said to Sa'd, that, oh Sa'd, do not say, Al-yawma yawmul malhamah. This day is the day of a great battle. Do not say that. Say, Al-yawma yawmul marhama. This day is the day of great mercy. Because a warrior is not entering Makkah Mukarramah. Rahmatul lil alameen is entering Makkah Mukarramah. Al-yawma yawmul marhama. Al-yawma yuksal Kaaba. Today Kaaba will be covered. In respect. Al-yawma yu'izzullahu Quraysha. Today Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not disgrace Quraysh. Allah will grant honor to Quraysh because I am also an individual of the Quraysh. And he enters Makkah Mukarramah. He enters Makkah Mukarramah as the liberator, my friends. And look at all the qualities that he had. We as the ummah need to understand the seerah. Read the seerah, study the seerah, understand the qualities that Allah had granted him and try to copy those qualities, try to acquire those qualities. So much humbleness that his battalion is the last, his battalion is the most insignificant. And entering Makkah Mukarramah as the liberator or conqueror, you can imagine the state of a conqueror. Head held high, looking to the right, to the left, no. He was so humble on that day that the books of Seerah tells us that his blessed beard was touching the hump of the camel. He was sitting like this in humbleness. And he did not feel at that moment that I am a great person, that within 8 years I am coming back to Makkah Mukarramah as the liberator. 8 years ago I had to run from here and now I am coming back with total control. No. Where was his mind? His mind was towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, La ilaha illallah wa'ada. He was giving the message to his Sahaba as well. Do not feel proud of yourself. Do not think that this is your achievement and accomplishment. No. La ilaha illallah wahda. There is no one worthy of worship except Allah alone. Wa nasara abda. It is only Allah who has helped his servant. Wa anjaza wa'da. It is only Allah who has fulfilled his promise of liberation of Makkah Mukarramah. وَأَنْجَزَ وَعْدَ وَهَزَمَ الْأَحْزَابَ وَحْدَهُ. And it is only Allah who has defeated the coalition forces. It is only Allah. He enters Makkah Mukarramah. Before entering Makkah Mukarramah, Abu Sufyan radiyallahu ta'ala anhu said, O Messenger of Allah, there is a lot of uncertainty in Makkah Mukarramah. What will happen? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, make announcement in Makkah Mukarramah that the person who enters the precinct of the Haram, Haram Sharif, fahuwa amin. He will be forgiven. Nothing will happen to him. So tell the people to reach Haram Sharif. He said, O Messenger of Allah, First, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man dakhala dar Abi Sufyan fahuwa amin." Imagine how he is honoring Abu Sufyan. One who enters the house of Abu Sufyan will be forgiven. Abu Sufyan radiyallahu anhu says, "Oh Messenger of Allah, Abu Sufyan's house is too small for the people of Makkah Mukarramah, population of Makkah Mukarramah." So he says, make an announcement, "Man dakhala al-haram fahuwa amin." One who enters the haram will be forgiven. So Abu Sufyan said, "Oh Messenger of Allah, this haram is quite large, but there are people who are sat in their homes due to fear of life. So they will neither come to my home nor go to the haram sharif. What happens to them?" The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Anyone who remains in his home will also be forgiven. Fahuwa amin, he will not be killed. No harm will come to him." Thereafter, Makkah Mukarramah is conquered, liberated. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam enters Kaaba. After returning from Kaaba, he gives a sermon. And in the sermon he says, Oh my people, oh the people of Quraysh, today what do you expect from me? What is your hope regarding me?" So they said, "You are a very noble brother and you are a very generous person. So we desire from you generosity and nobility. That means we seek from you forgiveness." So he said, "Today I will say to you what Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam said to his brothers. La tasriba alaykum al-yawm. There is no lament upon you. Everything that you had done in the past is forgiven and forgotten. La tasriba alaykum al-yawm. Idhabu antum at-tulaqa. All of you can leave from here. All of you can disperse. There will be no captive. Everybody is forgiven and free to go." This is the nature of the mercy of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So my friends, We need to do a few things. Number one, we need to understand who sent this merciful Prophet. The one who is most merciful, most compassionate. He sent him. And he sent him as what? He sent him as the mercy for all the creatures, for Muslims, non-Muslims, humans, animals, for everybody. He was so merciful that imagine somebody like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, only 23 years of life, and he needs to accomplish the whole mission. So many activities taking place, so many obstacles, and he needed to convey to the ummah everything that they were going to need until the day of Qiyamah. Very busy person. He does not have time to think about the animals. But no, my friends, his sharia, his system was comprehensive. He did not leave anything where a person has to ask a question that this is not very clear in our sharia. There is no guidance as far as this aspect of my life is concerned. A businessman, if he goes to a mufti and he says, "The nature of my business is this. What does Sharia say?" He will get guidance. If a person goes to the mufti and say, "I want to have a haircut and I have three options. What does the Sharia say?" The mufti will have a say. That the Sharia says this is permissible, this is also permissible, and this is also permissible. Or he will say, "This is permissible, this is not permissible." Food, any food, the Sharia has a say. How to live our lives, in every aspect of our lives, the Sharia gives guidance. The Sharia does not rule, my friend. Sharia gives guidance. This is the kindness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Creator knows the needs of the creatures. And because He knows the needs of the creatures, He has prepared the system accordingly. This is His mercy. This is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him. And he sent him as rahmatul lil alameen. there must be some reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of all His attributes, gives preference to the attribute Ar-Rahman. His name is Allah, and He has 99 attributes. He is Khaliq, He is Wadud, He is Bari, He is Musawwir, He is Rahim, He is Rauf, He is Muntakim. Out of all the attributes, He has given preference to Ar-Rahman. Because when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam mentioned the 99 attributes, he said, there are 99 attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One who memorizes them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him entry into Jannah. And then he begins to recite the 99 attributes. Huwallahu alladhi la ilaha illa hu ar-Rahman. The first is ar-Rahman. There must be a reason. You say Bismillah, you start with the name of Allah, and the first attribute, Bismillah ar-Rahman. And thereafter ar-Rahim. There is no other attribute. Two attributes only in Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And the Muslims have been taught that before doing anything, recite Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. So anything that a Muslim does, anything good, he will recite Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. And it is expected of a Muslim to do good only. So 24 hours, he will be doing good. So 24 hours, he will be reciting Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, reminding him all the time that you are the servant and the slave of the one who is the most merciful and the most compassionate. So you must also be merciful and compassionate to the creatures around you. Islam is being distorted. Islam is being distorted, and Islam, unfortunately, is being, I'm sorry to say, misrepresented by the Muslims. So when you read in the newspapers, when you listen to the radio, the media, you get so many distorted versions of Islam. So Islam is distorted there as far as the non-Muslims are concerned. They are not going to come to the Islamic library to read authentic books. So when they read about Islam, it is distorted. And then when they want to see practical Islam in the lives of the Muslims, it is being misrepresented. The mercy is not there. The kindness is not there. The truth is not there. The trustworthiness is not there. Fulfilling promises is not there. Fulfilling agreements is not there. So how is it possible for a non-Muslim to come to the right conclusion about Islam? I met a revert a few years ago. A young English boy. And I was interested to know what caused him to revert, what took place in his life that brought him into Islam. So I started to question him, and normally what happens is that our revert brothers, they come into contact with Muslims in the universities or in colleges or in workplaces, and this leads them to inquire about Islam, and then they eventually revert to Islam. So I said, brother, can you tell me what reverted you to Islam? And without him answering, I just carried on and I said, your friends in the university, you have some Muslim friend in the university? The answer was shocking but full of reality, my friends. Answer was shocking but full of reality. He said, Sheikh, I was very fortunate not to have met Muslims before Islam. Allahu Akbar. I was very fortunate not to have met Muslims before Islam. I met Islam first through books.
after I reverted, I met Muslims. He said, when I saw the behavior and the conduct of the Muslims, if I had met Muslims first, I would never have accepted Islam. Because they would never have encouraged me, their behavior would never have prompted me to study this religion. We understand what is happening throughout the world. I am a student of Hadith, a student of Quran, a student of Sharia. I am not a politician, and I am not as much familiar as you are with the political situation of the world. There may be many factors contributing to the sufferings of the Muslims throughout the world. But one very important factor which is being ignored by the Muslims is that we ourselves are not practicing Muslims. And it has become very easy for us to relax in our chairs and sofas and discuss politics and put all the blame on this country and that country, this president and that prime minister. Very easy solution. We don't have to do anything. What we need to do is to take stock of our lives. Take stock of our lives. We need to study the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We need to sit in the company of reliable, authentic ulama, read books written by reliable, authentic ulama, because everything that is around on the net, in the market, is not authentic and reliable. Authentic, reliable literature, authentic, reliable ulama, ulama whose lives are known to you, ulama who are known to you, take guidance from them and sit in their company also, in their durus, in their lessons, and learn as much as possible about this great personality. And after learning, try to put it into practice and learn with firmness, so that you are able to explain to your non-Muslim brethren also. We shy away because we ourselves are not familiar with our own religion. We can't discuss, we can't talk to anybody. So we need to learn. Learn, practice and propagate. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to value this great ni'mat of Islam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to follow the whole deen and to teach others also. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.